Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the second hour of tonight's Perspectives on America, a special edition in our To Health With You series, as we attempt to answer the question, X-rays, are they a major cause of heart disease and cancer? As we left off with the first hour, we were discussing some of the various different aspects and causes of cancer beyond that of just X-rays. We were discussing smoking, diet, other related and or seemingly unrelated issues. You're listening to this program live this evening on themicroeffect.com. Does poor diet unto itself contribute to cancer? It may. I tend to believe that it has much to do with it. We're starving ourselves nutritionally, and if we are amongst those who tend to get more X-rays than we probably should, we're probably killing various different portions of our body. We're probably, in fact, killing some of those cells that are necessary to fight off the cancer that each and every one of us faces on a daily basis. Through Goffman's studies, we can see that when he says X-rays are responsible for a large percentage of all cancers in the United States, he is not saying that X-rays are the only cause of those cancers. However, he is saying that most of those cancers would not have occurred without X-rays. It's important, my friends, to point out Goffman is not opposed to medical X-rays. Rather, he's opposed to unnecessary exposures from X-rays. Now, he has shown over the years, and he is definitely not alone in this, that medical X-ray exposures in the United States could be cut by at least 50% with no loss of medical information. The careful use of modern X-ray equipment and techniques can reduce X-ray exposures by half or more without sacrificing any medical benefits. And thus, at least half the cancers caused by medical X-rays are completely unnecessary. How many unnecessary cancers are we talking about? These kind of numbers and details, I realize, to many of you become tedious. They become boring. It's like, okay, cut to the chase and let's get on with it. But I think we need to understand the writings, the teachings, the words of some true scholars and experts in this field, not just of cancer, as we so often pay homage to Dr. Kelly and the teachings of his word and his writings and his learned experience, but certainly to go out and look for other explanations, listen to what others have to say. And that is, in effect, what we will continue to do on this program. How many unnecessary cancers are we talking about? Well, Goffman calculates that in 1993, 50% of all cancers in women and 74% of all cancers in men were attributable, in fact, to X-rays. In other words, 60% of all cancers in the U.S. in 1993 were attributable to X-rays. Were you aware of the fact that we've got about 500,000, a half a million people die of cancer in this country alone each and every year? If 60% of these deaths are attributable to X-rays and half are unnecessary, then we're talking about at least 150,000 unnecessary cancer deaths each year in the United States. And of course, over the past, what we've learned from Dr. Kelly is that death by cancer is an unnecessary mechanism anyway. Now, Goffman calculates that the proportion of coronary heart disease, by the way, attributable to X-rays, is slightly higher than the proportion of cancers. Among men in 1993, 63% of what we call CHD, coronary heart disease deaths, were attributable to X-rays. 78% of those were among women. And so, in rough numbers, 70% of the CHD deaths are attributable to X-rays. That's what Goffman believes, based on his studies. Since coronary heart disease caused roughly 460,000 deaths in the United States in 1993, then if Goffman in fact is right, 70% or 322,000 of those deaths were attributable to X-rays, and half of those, or about 161,000, were completely unnecessary. I think we can see that X-rays are responsible, or at least contribute, about 311,000 unnecessary deaths each year in the United States, if Goffman, in fact, is right. Now, I have no reason at this point in time to believe that Goffman is wrong. I'm not a big proponent of X-rays. Let's take this a step further. I'm not a big proponent of microwave ovens, either. There's one in my home. I don't use it. I don't like to be anywhere near it. The point of the matter is, X-rays, microwave technology, as I've so kiddingly called it over the last several years, is something that, and let's talk about it in terms of the X-ray, the medical X-ray, certainly it has benefits, There's no doubt about it, but in a few moments we're going to talk about the excessive use of those benefits and, in fact, of the X-ray machines. I will admit to all of you that Goffman's study does take a very novel approach. He avoids certain difficulties inherent in all data linking medical radiation to health. And here are some of the difficulties. First, there are no reliable estimates of the average per capita radiation dose that the U.S. population receives now, or in fact has received in the past, from medical X-rays. Secondly, there are no reliable estimates of the cancer risk per unit dose from medical X-rays because no one is sure of the precise exposures received by various groups that have been studied for cancer effects. Now, avoiding these difficulties, Goffman developed a very novel approach. He found disease statistics for the entire United States population. He broke them down into 9 census districts, 1940 to 1990 for cancer, 1950 to 1990 for coronary heart disease. And then he correlated these disease statistics year by year to the number of physicians per 100,000 population in each of the 9 census districts. The density of physicians per 100,000 population provides a relative measure of the medical radiation per 100,000 population in the 9 districts, year by year by year by year. Goffman has shown that cancer death rates rise in lockstep with increasing density of physicians in a census district, while non-cancer deaths decline in lockstep with increasing density of physicians per 100,000 population, except in the case of coronary heart disease, which follows the rising pattern of cancer. And thus, Goffman's hypothesis that coronary heart disease is linked to medical radiation, that fell out of the data. Because he had decades of experience researching the causes of coronary heart disease, and by the way, he's written 3 very, very well-respected books on it, and because he knows the radiation literature so well, Goffman was able to put 2 and 2 together. Radiation induces mutations in the coronary arteries, giving rise to what he calls dysfunctional clones, or mini tumors, in the smooth muscle lining the arteries. Interestingly enough, using his physician density method, Goffman estimates that medical radiation caused 83% of female breast cancers in the U.S. in 1993. Using a completely different method, Goffman estimated in 1995 that medical radiation was responsible for 75% of U.S. breast cancer, but the numbers are still highly unacceptable to me, as I'm sure they are to you. The 2 estimates by 2 completely different methods are actually pretty darn remarkably similar. Let me suggest some things to you, and if you've not gotten a pad and a paper out as of yet, I suggest you do that, because this next few moments we're going to give you some suggestions on how you can minimize your X-ray exposure, some things that you need to do, some things you need to do to take the bull by the horns, so to speak. I'll give you a couple minutes to get some paper and pencil. I'm going to share a couple of, I'm going to say unrelated, but certainly in a roundabout way, very related commentary by Dr. William D. Kelly. When Kelly states that the orthodox medical cure rate for pancreatic cancer is 0%. Now, in this particular case, we're talking specifically pancreatic cancer. Long about September, October of last year, there was a commercial running on television in stark black and white that tends to draw your attention because you're so accustomed to seeing colored commercials. Nice-looking gentleman, I'd say probably in his 60s, maybe 70s, walking along the beach in California, talking about how he's making plans for his last Christmas with his children and grandchildren, because he stated, "I have pancreatic cancer for which there is no known cure." That angered me. Those of you who may be joining this program for the very first time tonight, I address this segment of the program to you momentarily. Those of you who've been with this program for many years are going to say, "Oh my gosh, here he goes again." But you see, I'm not here to continue to address the older listeners, other than to continue to hammer the same thought process home time after time after time, because it is important for you to know these things. I reference twice tonight Dr. William D. Kelly, a dentist, a man who considers himself a medical missionary today. 30-some-odd years ago, 38, 39 years ago, Dr. Kelly was diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer, and at one point in time supposedly had less than 2 months to live. That was nearly 4 decades ago, and my friends, he cured himself of this so-called terminal incurable disease. And he has been highly successful for all these many decades later, guiding and teaching many people toward their path to health, teaching people how to cure their own cancer. And so for just a brief moment, we're going to speak about pancreatic cancer. Dr. Kelly states the orthodox medical cure rate for pancreatic cancer is 0%. And although a recent study includes only a very few pancreatic cases for various reasons and whims of the reporting journalist, it is the most significant and successful pancreatic cancer study in the world to date. That study alone proves that Dr. Kelly's objective, the Kelly metabolic cancer paradigm, is the only scientific basis and protocol for a cancer cure. Now, wait a minute, Bennett. Do you strictly mean pancreatic cancer? Au contraire, my dear listener. We spoke a few moments ago about X-rays contributing to cancer and cancer deaths in this nation over the period of time from the 1940 to 1990 and subsequently beyond. 100 years ago, at the turn of the last century, one in every 8,000 Americans would be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. Back when Dr. Kelly was diagnosed with cancer, it was already down to one in five. One in every five people in this nation would be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. Today, just a few short decades later, the numbers are worse. One out of every two men, two out of every three women. 50% of every male in this country today at some point in time will be diagnosed with cancer, and unfortunately a good number of them will lose the battle because the mainstream medical community refuses to acknowledge the work of people like Dr. Kelly. They refuse to acknowledge the work and the studies of a man like Dr. Gorfman. All of these things are detrimental to your health, Mr. and Mrs. America. And for the rest of you that are listening in from various different ports of call around the world to this program. Kelly states that cancer victims, now let's give the opening. He says all persons, now if you remember, out of the four criteria that Dr. Gorfman laid for cancer, three of them included poor diet. Kelly states all persons who have cancer die of starvation unless they are first killed, usually by the methods already outlined. And in Kelly's particular case, he's talking about X-rays. He's talking about the ignorance by the mainstream medical community who refuses to acknowledge and understand and learn about what cancer is and is not. Kelly continues to say, and I share this with each and every one of you, the cancer victim does not have to be a party to his own plunder and murder. He must properly treat his own cancer, as he is the only one who can. Do you understand what Kelly is saying? You, if you're sitting out there tonight and you've been diagnosed with cancer, or a loved one or a friend or a brother or a sister, or a mortal enemy has been diagnosed with cancer, the medical community cannot cure that cancer. They can experiment with it. They can practice with it. They can use you as a proverbial guinea pig for the pharmaceutical companies. But your doctor cannot legally cure your cancer. Now, don't misunderstand. There's some fine doctors out there, my friends. People who truly do care, but they are hamstrung. They're caught between a rock and a hard place, between following and adhering to their Hippocratic oath, versus rendering unto Caesar, the all-powerful pharmaceutical companies. Kelly continues to say that you must embark on a do-it-yourself program. That does not mean you're going to be handed a few pieces of paper and say you're out on your own. Nutritional counselors are available to work with you and counsel you on what you need to do to become cancer-free and to remain that way for the rest of your life. It's going to take people of that caliber to walk you through the process, to be there to hold your hand. And I don't mean physically. Spiritually, maybe. Verbally, absolutely. To provide you with the proper information and the proper nutritional program. And by the way, we are certainly in a position to counsel those of you who have never been diagnosed with cancer. This program is very preventive. that you have to use common sense. You have to think. Stop letting the medical community guide you down the path to your own death and destruction. Because frankly, once your insurance benefits are dried up, that's when you're sent home and told to prepare to meet your maker. I'd rather you go back a year later and meet your doctor and say, ha ha ha, I beat you, doc. But you see, that's a problem in this country, my friends. The cancer victim, as those with heart disease, want someone else to do it for them. They want you to give them the magic pill. They want us to give you that bit of advice or that proper prayer that you can say one time and your problems will forever be gone. And all of those things are impossible, my friends. For only the cancer victim himself or herself can properly treat his or her own cancer and, in fact, cure it. Now, for the time being, it's still not illegal to treat oneself. Now, how long would the medical establishment permit it? Only God knows. Those who are wise enough to realize that wealth is not determined in silver and gold or diamonds should consider obtaining a supply of nutritional supplements. Pancreatin's one of them. Health is your most important asset. Turn of the century. One person in 8,000. I'll tell you what, let's tighten this up to strictly America. 1904, one American in 24 would be diagnosed with cancer in his lifetime. In the 37 or 8 years since Kelly cured himself of terminal pancreatic cancer and guided 33,000 plus cancer victims to health, the cancer rate has increased from 1 in 5 to what it is now. 1 in 2 men, 2 out of every 3 women. The cancer industry calls this progress against cancer. It's a big lie, my friends. The medical establishment industry, using their establishment media, realize we're not winning the war on cancer any more than we're winning the war on drugs. No, not when you've got to support the pharmaceuticals. You'll never win the war on drugs. Oops, different kind of drugs, sorry. But is it really? You have legalized drugs that kill, and you have illegal drugs that kill. Same result, different modus operandi, I guess. I grow weary of what I see. This is the time of the year that the medical community, through the media, will begin to bombard us with the factor that a cure for this type of cancer or that type of cancer is right around the corner. The fact of the matter is, it's a couple years off. We'll have the magic pill that'll do it all. So please donate heavily to the American Cancer Society so that we can care for this dreaded disease so no more people will have to suffer. I maintain that so long as they are treated by the mainstream medical community through the guise of surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, that is the ultimate in suffering. I was on the phone for over an hour with a woman from Traverse City, Michigan last night. Her attitude is phenomenal. Mental attitude, spiritual attitude. She's done tremendous research into this dis-ease that she has called cancer. And yes, she's talked to many people because she's looking for a general consensus. And I asked her, had that consensus been reached? And she said yes, that no matter who one talks to, it ultimately comes back to nutrition. We have starved ourselves. We must begin to learn to feed ourselves properly once again. Now, I hope you've gotten your paper and pencil. Minimizing X-ray exposure, because this is one of the causes or a partial cause of the rate of cancer in this country today. Once again, the rise of cancer can almost correlate with the invention of the X-ray. Now, keep in mind, it's not going to be easy to convince physicians to take special care to minimize radiation administered to their patients, you. Familiarity does breed contempt, and many physicians and dentists treat X-rays as if they're entirely harmless. Recently, I broke a tooth. My dentist, who is frankly first rate in my mind, needed to document the injury for so-called insurance purposes. "I'll just snap an X-ray," he said. I asked him, "Is there some other way?" He nodded and immediately scribbled a note. "I broke my tooth and I don't want an X-ray." He asked me to sign this. He said the insurance company is required to accept it. And I was able to avoid an unnecessary X-ray. I challenge you to do this, as I have for many months on this program. Next time someone says they're going to give you an X-ray, don't put them on the spot, but mention that you're curious what dose of radiation you will get. If your experience is anything like mine, the person giving the X-ray will not know the answer and will tell you, "Don't worry, it's completely safe." If you're a gambling man or woman, I'd say, don't bet on it, my friends. Don't bet on it. The life you save may, in fact, be your own. X-rays, the link with cancer and heart disease. I pray you learn something out of it. I hope it puts you on your guard. I know it's difficult to question the authority and the accreditation of your doctor, your physician. But I've stated to all of you for a long time that when your doctor gives you a prescription, it is your obligation, it's your duty to be on the lookout for yourself. No, I don't believe your doctor would intentionally do anything to harm you or kill you, but I also don't think he'd go out of his way, really truly go out of his way to help you. That's why there ain't no house calls anymore, folks. Your doctor sits down and says, X-ray, go across the hall to the clinic over there and get an X-ray and bring it back or come back in 2 weeks after I've gotten the results. My friends, when it comes to the cancer patient, 2 weeks can be the difference in life or death. When it comes to any kind of a health-related situation, we know that there's large numbers of deaths in this country each and every year due to prescriptions that are unreadable. Doctor writes out the prescription and the pharmacist thinks he knows what he's reading, but he unfortunately gives out the wrong dose or the wrong medicine or the wrong product. Since I originally brought the subject up many, many months ago, I've been able to acquire physician's desk reference. Anytime your doctor gives you a prescription, ask him who the manufacturer of that drug is. What's he going to say? Gee, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You're giving me a prescription, doctor. Don't you know what you're prescribing to me? Doc, do you mind if we take a look at the PDR, the physician's desk reference book? I'd like to read what it has to say about this drug. You're going to find in some instances anywhere from 3 paragraphs up to 11 pages of side effects listed for many of those prescription drugs. Don't count on your doctor. He's only human. How often do you go to the doctor for an appointment and you have to wait 20, 30 minutes, an hour to keep your scheduled appointment because they're cranking them in and out left and right? Even though you have an appointment, you've got to kind of wait on the back burner. Of course, their argument is we want to get this really sick people in and out of here as quickly as possible. We don't want others infected. Self-responsibility, that is what we attempt to teach you on this program, or to at least challenge you to accept. You better begin to question the dosages you're getting on the X-rays. We talked the other evening about the fact that X-rays being given at the low level of 3 REMs was proving to be dangerous. And Gorfman says you could very easily get by with X-rays being done at half that strength, and they could get the medical information they need without endangering your life. My friends, don't misunderstand. X-rays under themselves aren't bad, but we seem to have little control. They want to get the best and the brightest to make it easier for themselves to be able to look at it. Doc, I'd rather you strain your eyes a little bit and be a little easier on me with the dosage you give me. I mean, I get nervous. Don't talk to me about barium and all this business. These things scare me, and they should scare you. Maybe that's why a lot of years ago I stopped going to the doctor as much as I once had. Let me share with you, if you don't mind, a letter from an MD, Dr. John Reinhardt, who writes, "I first met Dr. Kelly 6 years ago. I had taken a seriously ill member of my family to him for an evaluation and a nutritional program. What I got was a fascinating and provocative experience about a new way to live healthfully, and a whole new concept of what physical and spiritual health is all about. This was all in addition to a nutritional program, and while I did not understand at that point exactly all the ramifications of his approach, I was so intrigued that I decided to go on a program myself. Part of doing this was to test for myself whether it really was possible that Dr. Kelly had developed a method for applying his theories. My own physical problems resolved around long-term exhaustion of what I now know as my sympathetic nervous and glandular systems. Medically, this encompassed several diagnoses, including irritable colon and mucus colitis, severe low blood sugar, intermittent episodes of high blood pressure, depression, and very erratic and low energy patterns. These are all called burnout." Now, my friends, remember, this is a letter from a medical doctor, an MD. A licensed practicing MD. And look at all of his problems. He continues to say, "What I noticed over the years was a disappearance of all my symptoms, the return of energy, endurance, and interest, which I could count on. He says, I knew something vitally important had happened to my body and did not quite understand how that had been accomplished, and so decided to study with Dr. Kelly in order to find some answers to that apparent riddle. What I discovered was a simple theory that addressed an extremely sophisticated piece of machinery, our bodies, in a new and comprehensive as well as therapeutically effective way. Over the last 2 years, he says, I've incorporated the program in my practice and have seen all types of people responding well, providing they commit themselves to doing the program thoroughly. I'd also like to emphasize that the program is a dynamic and ever-developing one, so much so that the changes incorporating new knowledge make your old program seem like 10 years old. Overall, Dr. Reinhardt concludes, I believe that Dr. Kelly's program is sparked by a special sort of genius decades ahead of its time and will be a paradigm of medical care in the future. Signed, John Reinhardt, M.D. I spend a good deal of time talking about Dr. Kelly's program and his paradigm. Let me share some things that I've discovered in my travels at some of the expositions where I've been and represented Dr. Kelly. Whether they be of a preparedness nature or one of health. What I've discovered is that from Park Avenue to New York City to the motel clinics and marble palaces of northern Mexico, from doctors who claim to be medical school graduates to those who have bought mail-order diplomas, from the local fly-by-night promoters to the international multi-level conglomerate giants, deception, misrepresentation, and outright fraud is inflicted daily upon a multitude of desperate cancer victims.
It is that time again, my friends. Time to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to pick up where we left off with this story, in addition to adding some brand new information about this diabolical subject. Stand by. We'll be back with you after these few brief messages from the network. Welcome back to our final half an hour of our series, X-Rays, a Major Cause of Heart Disease and Cancer. I'm your host, Jeffrey Bennett. Let us please take just a few moments. Several weeks ago, we went on the air offering a marvelous package of cancer-related books, Dr. Kelly's Cancer Cure Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, or Radiation, along with his Self-Test for the Different Metabolic Typing book, in addition to a one-hour audio track of our introduction to Kelly's cancer program. It was a $90 package, which we offered to our listeners for $64.95. I'm going to repeat that offer this evening. However, we will include this two-hour series. The value on this is about $98. I'm going to deliver it to those of you who are interested for $69.95. That will include this two-hour audio transcript of tonight's broadcast, X-Rays, a Major Cause of Heart Disease or Cancer. For those of you who acquired the first package, if you would like to add this particular two-hour presentation tonight, or if you'd like to call us, let us know that you'd picked up the first package, and we will be glad to make this two-hour program available to you for not its normal $16.95 package price, but $12.95. That is a delivered price. If you wish to send us an email about this package offering tonight, the X-Rays package, we'll call it. Once again, it is $69.95. Give us a call at 623-327-1778, or send me an email, jeff@federalobserver.com. Let us return now to this evening's program. The other evening, I shared with you a story about a gentleman who'd been to one of the Marble Palace clinics down in Mexico recently and spent $60,000 for a three-month stay. And 2 months after having left the clinic, he was no better off than the day he went in. As a matter of fact, he was in worse condition. Orthodox physicians, as well as alternative and complementary health care doctors, commit plunder each and every day. They commit murder and abound in fraud to unprecedented heights never before known to mankind. Many of these unscrupulous individuals claim that they're using Dr. Kelly's program or supplements formulated by Dr. Kelly or an improvement over Dr. Kelly's concepts, etc. And I'm going to share with you, none of these wicked, lawless creatures can approach Kelly's cancer cure success rate, not one of them. These creatures make false claims that they're using Kelly's methods and or have studied with Kelly, and nothing could be further from the truth. They want you to think their programs are as good or better than Kelly's original metabolic medicine cancer cure program, and they'll try to deceive you using Kelly as an authority figure when they do not even comprehend his concepts.
Dateline, April 6th, 2010.
A news story came out recently talking about further dangers of X-rays. The column is entitled, FDA Ignored Urgent Warnings. The Pulse of Health Freedom has often pointed out the dangers of medical radiation, which produces cumulative changes to our DNA, changes increasingly linked to cancer and heart disease. The FDA has conceded that one CAT chest scan delivers as much radiation as nearly 400 chest X-rays. Now, according to journalist Gardner Harris, scientists have broken their year-long silence and revealed how the FDA ignored their urgent warnings about the risks of routinely using powerful CAT scans to screen patients for colon cancer. Dr. Julian Nicholas, a gastroenterologist trained at Oxford University and the Mayo Clinic, has warned that radiation screening could expose a number of Americans to a risk of radiation that is unwarranted and may lead to instances of solid organ abdominal cancer. In June of 2009, Nicholas wrote FDA's senior managers urging that patients be told of the risk associated with CAT scanning. "I hope you understand," he said, "that the failure to include a warning on the label will mean that patients will undoubtedly develop abdominal cancer and leukemia. It may not happen tomorrow, but yes, sadly, it will happen." FDA Medical Officer Robert Smith, MD, former professor of radiology at Yale and Cornell, has gone on record himself as agreeing with Dr. Nicholas. FDA policies forbid the penalizing of agency staff for expressing scientific views. But on March 30th of this year, Nicholas told a public meeting of imaging specialists that a month after he and eight colleagues voiced their concerns about high-grade medical scanning to Dr. Jeffrey Shurin, director of the FDA's Medical Device Division, he, Nicholas, was ridiculed by agency managers for raising the boogaboo of radiation and told that his job had been eliminated. In his book, Should I Be Tested for Cancer? Maybe Not, and Here's Why, Gilbert Welch, MD, professor of medicine at Dartmouth Institute of Health Policy and Clinical Practice, contends that testing healthy people for cancer is really a double-edged sword. While these tests may help, they often have surprisingly little effect and are sometimes even harmful. For too long, my friends, medicine has failed to monitor radiation dosage, and errors have not been identified and corrected. When the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs recently reviewed the medical records of 116 veterans implanted with radioactive seeds to treat their prostate cancer, the results were disturbing. It was found that 97 of the 116 men had received the wrong radiation dosage. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission responded by imposing a fine of $227,500 for lacking procedures to ensure and verify the treatments were done correctly, failing to properly train staff, and neglecting to immediately report mistakes. What bothers me about this? Out of 116 guinea pigs through the Department of Veteran Affairs, 97 of those 116 men had received the wrong radiation dosage. And yet we're supposed to face Mecca and bow down every morning and give thanks for Obamacare? I think not, my friends. Allow me, if you will, to introduce you to radiologist Herbert Abrams. Abrams was the Philip H. Cook Professor and Chairman of Radiology at Harvard Medical School for 18 years before returning to Stanford in 1985 to join the Radiology Department and CISAC. Abrams was the founder of International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, which received the 1985 Nobel Peace Prize. And yet today we seem to hand out Nobel Peace Prizes like a piece of candy on Halloween. According to Abrams, exposure to X-rays and gamma rays, even at low dose levels, increases the risk of cancer. That's the bottom line of this comprehensive 5-year study by a National Research Council committee that included Stanford's Herbert L. Abrams, a member of the Institute of Medicine of the National Academy of Sciences. There appears, Abrams begins, to be no threshold below which exposure can be viewed as harmless. Abrams is one of two physicians and the only member from Stanford on this committee of 16 international experts in fields including epidemiology, radiation biology, genetics, cancer biology, radiology, and physics. As a radiologist, Abrams said he was able to serve as a bridge between the epidemiologists and the biologists on the committee, whose approaches to risk were based on completely different data sets. The landmark 700-page advisory report to the U.S. government entitled Biological Effects of Ionizing Radiation 7 was completed in July, near the eve of the 60-year anniversary of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings. It is the 11th report in a series since the 1945 atomic bombings to investigate the effects of low-level radiation exposure. Now, obviously, this I'm sharing with you was written just a few short years ago, but it's somewhat more up-to-date than much of the information we've been sharing throughout this program this evening. Now, this report provided U.S. policymakers and health agencies with authoritative risk estimates, beginning with the first Bayer study published in 1956. The reports have used data from the Lifespan study by the Radiation Effects Research Foundation in Japan, which continues to track developments to this day among a cohort of 120,000 people who were in Hiroshima or Nagasaki at the time of the bombings, as well as other radiation exposure studies. Now, the NRC convenes bear committees periodically at the request of U.S. government agencies to decide whether sufficient new information is available to merit an updated study, and if so, to conduct one. This process has yielded bear reports 1, 3 through 5, and 7, which is the one we're discussing tonight, which assess low-level radiation risks in general, where bears 2 and 6 focused on radon gas effects. Now, BEAR, spelled B-E-I-R, BEAR 7, sponsored by the U.S. Departments of Defense, Energy, and Homeland Security, as well as the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, quote, provides the most up-to-date comprehensive estimates for risk for cancer and other harmful health effects from low-dose radiation, that according to the NRC. The committee reviewed not only new data on A-bomb survivors and their offspring, but also 1,300 other studies on radiation exposure at the cell, animal, and human levels. Since 1990, publication of BEAR 5, the Substantial Epidemiologic and Experimental Research, has yielded a wealth of new information on radiation-induced cancer, as well as other adverse health impacts. The new report, dated some 4 years ago, confirms that even low doses of radiation can produce cellular injury. The committee defined low dose as a range from near zero up to about 100 millisieverts, about 10 times that of a CAT scan, 1,000 times greater than a mammogram, and 30 to 40 times the annual background exposure a person encounters. Background radiation from the natural environment, including outer space, the ground, basic activities such as eating, drinking, and breathing, accounts for about 82% of human exposure, while man-made radiation from sources, including medical x-rays and consumer products, accounts for the remaining 18%. And yet progressive exposure to such radiation causes DNA damage, which correlates with an increased risk of developing a variety of cancers. And while the report examines a range of potential health risks, it focuses on causal relationships to solid cancers in humans. But this report is among the first of its kind to include detailed estimates for radiation-induced cancer incidence and mortality. Abrams said that the report enhances prior risk estimates for solid cancer and leukemia using risk models based on a gender and age distribution similar to that of the entire U.S. population. The committee estimated the excess lifetime risks for 12 categories of cancer. Now, for boys, radiation exposure in the first year of life produces 3 to 4 times the lifetime cancer risk as exposure to the same dose between the ages of, say, 20 and 50. Female infants have almost double the risk as male infants. For women, the risks of developing cancer after exposure to radiation were 37.5% higher than for men. The risks for all solid tumors, such as lung and breast tumors, when added together, were almost 50% greater for women than for men. But for a few specific cancers, such as leukemia, the radiation-induced risk estimates were much higher for men. Examining data on children of A-bomb survivors, the committee did not find genetic effects in children whose parents had been exposed to radiation from the bombs, but exposure of the fetus during pregnancy was associated with significant damage to the brain, including mental retardation. Studies of mice and other organisms have produced extensive data showing that radiation-induced cell mutation in sperm and eggs can be passed to offspring. Such mutations might also be passed on to human offspring, but their detection might require a survivor population larger than that of children of the A-bomb survivors. And so the question becomes, what is next? Now, the report identifies key areas for further research. Determining various molecular markers of radiation cause DNA damage, markers, something we're going to discuss in a future program.
examining adverse genetic impacts with particular emphasis on the hereditary effects, elucidating the specific role of radiation in the development and growth of tumors, clarifying the genetic factors that influence radiation response and cancer risk, as well as the correlation between radiation and other diseases such as heart disease and stroke, exploring the health effects of radiation exposure to patients in the practice of diagnostic radiology, and such as repeated screening CAT scans, and in high-risk occupations such as nuclear industry workers and uranium miners. Finally, conducting epidemiological studies of workers in these high-risk jobs, as well as persons exposed in key regions of the former Soviet Union and remaining atomic bomb survivors. Studies in these areas could inform the next bear report when enough new data accumulate to warrant an update. That which I've just shared with you came from the Stanford report dated October 25th, 2005. But let us update our conversation to a somewhat more modern time. Over the Christmas holiday of 2009, the so-called underwear bomber made us aware of dangers of flying. And miraculously, various governments around the world, including and specifically Great Britain and the United States, instantly announced that they had a ready cure to be able to detect potential bombers as they began to introduce new X-ray machines almost overnight into airport security systems. Systems referred to as backscatter X-ray machines, sometimes called virtual strip searches, for their ability to allow security men to see beneath people's clothing. They're setting the stage for a future epidemic of cancer, my friends. Now, thus far, news coverage has focused almost exclusively around the more emotionally charged privacy concerns. But the looming issue is whether repeated bombardment with radiation is planting the seeds of dis-ease. In light of the abundance of evidence attesting to radiation's proven dangers, it is unfathomable that any competent, unbiased doctor could take the position that X-rays do not pose a menace to all living cells through which they pass, leaving behind a painful and costly trail of destruction. Drawing upon sources such as the Mayo Clinic and the Radiological Society of North America, as well as interviews with prominent radiologists, molecular biologists, and medical doctors, ionizing or penetrating radiation in any dose, no matter how tiny, causes genetic mutations, which set all living cells exposed on the path to cancer. X-rays, my friends, are considered ionizing radiation. However, the manufacturer of the new backscatter machines currently being piloted at several airports, along with the FDA, have given assurance of the device's complete safety for everyone. It is undisputed within scientific circles that even a single X-ray increases a three-month-old child's chances of developing cancer in later life by at least 10 times. And yet they have plowed ahead, approving up to 5,000 backscatter images per person per year. My friends, this is unconscionable. And yet, predictably, the product's manufacturer spins out the usual half-truth, citing very low level of X-rays and boasting the opinion, packaged to appear as fact, that, quote, this system is completely safe for all persons, end of quote. Backpedaling authorities are now trying to appease the public by saying everyone will be allowed to opt out. Well, maybe, for now, but then go to the airport and you see if you will be allowed to opt out, my friends. Also a risk are other non-medical uses of radiation, including pre-employment, dental and chiropractic X-rays, newly developed silent guardian microwave crowd control devices, and even police radar beams pointed at drivers that might contribute to cataracts. Lives get cut short, my friends, and people die totally avoidable. Agonizing deaths long before their time, just so doctors can pay off their investment in an office X-ray suite, or so some entrepreneur who invents a new machine for airports can make a fortune.
or so hospital chains and insurance companies can generate a profit, or so a sales rep who sells X-ray machines can collect his commission.
I recently was shocked and humbled when we received a phone call from a potential counselee who offered to pay to have a technician fly out to see him in Los Angeles and counsel him on his needed nutritional program and the necessary Kelly supplements and how to take them and when, etc., etc. I contacted Dr. Kelly and said, who do we have in the area that we can fly in? He said, there's only one person I can think of. And I said, can I have their name and number? He said, Jeff, it's you. Now, I'm going to share with you, my friends, that was one of the most humbling things that was ever said to me. I was absolutely shocked. I feel I've come a long way, but I feel I have so much more to learn, and I'm privileged to be working under Dr. Kelly's direction, and I'd be privileged to counsel with you as best as I'm able and share with you some of the benefits that so many thousands of other people have received, both cancerous and non-cancerous patients. There's much that we can do together. Let me share with you in these closing seconds. Many a time, the Almighty has opened the door of opportunity to us that would be best for us and serve His purposes. Of course, the reason for our existence is His purposes. But all too often, we peek in and turn away to our own detriment. Occasionally, if we're blessed, He kicks us through it. Our bottom's hurting. And a whole new world opens up to us. And so it is. You've been listening to Perspectives on America. I'm Jeffrey Bennett, and I extend no apology. God bless and good night.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. but do it today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central. And Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.